Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Into the 9 o'clock hour we go here on Payne and Pendergast. Hey, we're getting some texts on this. The Live Lounge tonight for Game 4 of the ALDS, preceded by a Stern Talk. Clint Stern are going to break down the game film from the Texans' win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Clint's really good at this stuff. I would, if you're into that and you want to watch the Astros in a really cool venue here that we've got up here, go to sportsradio610.com/lounge. sportsradio610.com/lounge. All you got to do is put in your information, RSVP, tell us you're coming, and then we'll see you here later on tonight.
Sean and I will be there. Clint obviously will be there. Yeah. I think Landry and Lopez will be there.
Yeah, should be fun.
Am I missing Jonesy? Are you going to be there or what? Are you going to come party with us with your bum back?
I may not be there.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so everybody, I take back what I just said. False advertising.
Yeah, I don't want people to be, they'd be supremely disappointed if I were not there, I'm sure.
Jonesy's got a bum back. He was in doing his stretches the other day, but I just could look in through the studio window and it looked like he was putting it to somebody on the floor. I was like, whoa. He's all back arched. I was like straining towards the sky and everything. I looked down.
So
and
he
was
wasn't
just,
doing
no,
that?
No, it was. It was just him doing a stretch.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. Jonesy, it sounds like those stretches could pay off in other areas. That's nice. Way
like,
to go.
He looks very spry.
Someone, we just got done talking about Deshaun and this gauntlet for the Texans, that if it were Mahomes this past week, and boy, what if Andrew Luck were the quarterback? You brought up, a good point, Seth, about how, boy, this would be the MVP gauntlet right here. You'd be going through Mahomes and Luck, who are probably, if Luck hadn't retired, he would have been one of the top three or four candidates on the board for MVP of the league. Someone says, Mahomes is playing hurt. Let's not jump the gun on Watson MVP till it all plays out. Mahomes will be back. That's fine. But with every week that goes by that he plays hurt, that's a week that he's probably not going to play that well.
You know who was hurt last year? Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Deshaun Watson was injured last year. He was playing with a punctured lung. He was coming off of an ACL, and that ended up being a factor in him not being the same guy that he is this year. So, yeah, these are the things. This is how it works out. Like, if we can talk about a race, listen, we're sports talk hosts. If we approach every contest as, well, just have to see how it plays out, right, we'd be not only would be out of a job, we'd be out of stuff to talk about really quickly. If at 6 a.m. this morning, Sean should have come in and be like, well, they got rained out yesterday, but it's game 4, Yankees versus Astros in the ALCS. We're frankly not going to talk about it until Monday when we probably have a winner.
When we know what the result is.
Yeah, let's break down the Joker for 4 hours.
Right, exactly. Which we did for a few minutes. But by this theory, Peyton Manning should have won the MVP award the year that he was out with a neck injury all year.
LeBron,
I know he didn't play at all. I know he didn't play any games.
I know people actually did have that take, though. It was really annoying.
Because they went 2-14.
Remember, like, doesn't that prove that he's the most valuable player? Did anybody genuinely believe that, or were they just saying it to sound clever?
No, they were saying it to sound clever.
Okay, but the problem is that some people would say, you know, he's got a point. So
the best would have been if there were one writer who voted for Peyton.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Nobody the attention-seeking whore in the crowd.
Yeah, because by that logic, Michael Jordan should have been the MVP every single year, even after he retired.
The 2 years
until,
he was gone.
Until LeBron James came back.
Right.
Yeah, literally, he should have won it because, wow, look at how much better the Bulls could be if Jordan and his prime were still there.
So guys get hurt. That's what happens. It's about production. Speaking of the Astros, they're involved in a gate now. Are they involved in a gate, or did you name it this, Seth?
Named it Whistlegate. Nobody else has called it Whistlegate, but I'm going to call it Whistlegate.
We got to get that going.
This is Whistlegate. No, because I don't really want this to be a thing. I don't think anybody's going to really latch onto this, because the Yankees, apparently, their bullpen erupted because they were angry that the Astros were allegedly using whistling to signal pitches to the batter as they were stealing signs in game 1. A game in which, I'll remind you, one of the best offenses in baseball was shut out completely.
Right.
That's when the Yankees said that the Astros had an unfair advantage because they were stealing signs and whistling, which, and this is where it gets really annoying with all this stuff. They interviewed They interviewed people from outside the Yankees organization, and one coach said, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, I guess that's violating an unwritten rule, but frankly, I don't know where the lines are anymore, and I suppose whatever. Everybody just knows that there's people are trying to steal signs in baseball. You're not supposed to use electronic means to do it, and if you don't have evidence for it, then it's all just guesswork. But somehow Yankees fans choose to ignore that, and Yankees commentators, this is what really annoys me. Yankees commentators refuse to ignore that the Astros are also pretty paranoid about having their signs stolen. You know, Maldonado and Gerrit Cole got crossed up in that last game because they were changing their signs so much. But what they'll do is they'll say, wow, look, our catcher has to change his signs a lot, and it's because the Astros are stealing signs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, great. Like, how are you acting like you haven't watched playoff baseball the last 5 years?
I don't get the whole thing, like, that. It's not technology. It's guys picking up. To me, it's like picking up on a tell in poker. That's what it is. And if you're dumb enough to put a tell out there, if you're substandard enough to where you can't change up signs or you can't be caginess to stay one step in front of your opponent, then you deserve whatever the outcome is, in my opinion.
The glass now thing was visible to the naked eye.
Right.
This didn't require satellite technology and 8 different GPS. It was crazy that people were kind of lumping that in with stuff the Red Sox had done with their Apple Watches and whatnot.
It's nuts. It's where baseball gets so stupid. The unwritten rules, I hate them. I absolutely hate. Now, they are softening on things like bat flips and Cadillacing coming out of the batter's box on home runs. Which I'm a
That's
fan
true.
Of.
That's true. You know, it's not even a big deal anymore. Even somebody will bring it up every now and then. They'll say Correa's celebration after his home run. Well, I wonder if the Yankees will have an answer for that next time they come out. No. No, because nobody does. Nobody cares about that stuff anymore.
No, but 5 years ago, Correa, if he had done what he did after his walk-off home run in Game 2, he'd have gotten one in the ear in Game 3.
Well, I guess it depends on who that. Now, I think the older guys in the clubhouse have just... They've just learned when to pick their battles.
Maybe.
I think the older guys that maybe even would have been offended by it previously
maybe.
Now just aren't going to worry about it.
I mean, we're not that far removed from Joey Bats, Bautista, getting into that fight in that playoff game, I think, with the Rangers a few years ago because he was preening.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's what it ended up with the punch the next year.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
they settled the score.
It was in retaliation.
Yeah,
they
settled the
score.
Like, I don't think Correa, if they play the Yankees in the opening series next year, like, I don't think they're. Yeah, remember when he cupped his ear like Hulk Hogan?
No, the next year, that was a combo. There was bad blood already because of that, but then also there was a dirty slide into second. They claimed it was a dirty slide.
Maybe I'm conflating bad examples. The bottom line is...
The chances are that it's me that's
the
problem.
The bottom line is this is where you and I checking each other is probably a bad thing. The bottom line is that part of the unwritten rules, I like that baseball has softened on. Baseball needs that. The problem with baseball ultimately softening on this is something that affects winning.
Yeah.
Preening coming out of the batter's box is an ego thing. Pitchers don't like being shown up, but it doesn't affect winning. This is a team, the Yankees, that feel like, man, the Astros are getting an edge and they're going to use it. And if they win a game 3-2, it might be because they were able to communicate with themselves as to what pitch was coming.
It's interesting because now that the Astros, and this is what happens when teams are successful, their guys... Their staff gets sprinkled throughout the league. You've got coaches that have gone to the Yankees, that have gone to the Astros, that have gone to the Nationals, whatever.
Yeah.
That some of the now everybody knows what everybody else is doing. Same way with pitchers. Okay, it's widely considered. What's the most responsible way to say this? Nobody really tries to complain too much about other pitchers using sticky substances because there's a good chance that somebody on their team is using sticky substances.
Right.
Just to get a little better grip on the ball, you know. And
last thing you want to be is a hypocrite.
Right. So when it comes to allegations of cheating, sometimes teams don't necessarily. I hear a whole lot more from the media surrounding the Yankees than the Yankees themselves about this.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
It's something that they love to bring up, and certain Yankees fans will want to excuse away the fact that they spend more money than anybody, and yet they can't make it to a World Series. Oh, it must be cheating. It couldn't possibly be underperforming by our rich guys.
And
it's cheating.
It rabble rouses a very rabble rousable audience.
Yeah.
Yankee fans.
There was a video of a guy sitting behind home plate at the Yankees game during the Cole start who was standing up, berating everybody around him, telling him they need to stand up, and everybody's just laughing at him. And meanwhile, because it's behind home plate, you look at any ballpark in the country, behind home plate, for the most part, that's the wine and cheese crowd.
For sure.
They're not standing up. You know, when we were at Minute Maid for game one, I remember I was sitting in the right field for a good portion of the game. And I got to say, the right field crowd, I was looking around. They won that night for standing the largest amount of time. It was
We were over there for a little bit.
It's because I would kind of look around and see which sections were standing. Right field had it going on.
Way to go, right field. Nice job.
So anyway, this guy's standing up and he's like making an impassioned plea. He looked like somebody from the Revolutionary War, like trying to foment rage against the Empire or something. And nobody was by. Everybody was just filming him and laughing at him. The poor guy.
Was he better than the guy who was standing above Reddick when Reddick caught that ball at the wall?
Oh, yeah. He was better than that because this guy wasn't swearing or anything. He wasn't angry. He was just imploring. He looked genuinely concerned that the team needed the fan support, and the fans weren't giving it to him. He seemed genuinely distraught that the Yankees might lose this game. He was saying, it's Garrett Cole. We need you.
Yeah.
He had that kind of, you know, that nasally New York, like, it's Garrett Cole. We need you. This is our time.
Could you do a whole segment talking like a New Yorker?
I
liked your New York impersonation right there. That was pretty good. What do we think the whistle sounds like that the Astros are deploying? Do we have any whistles in there? Okay, I mean that's kind of generic. I would like to see them use.
Yeah,
the whistle where you're
a wolf whistle. As you used to call it, a wolf whistle back in the day.
The whistle where you're, is that what they call it?
When you're whistling at a lady.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's you're at a construction site.
It went the wolf whistle really fell out of favor.
Me too, kind of killed it.
I think there was almost a time. I think there was a time where guys didn't even realize that women didn't like it. That's how dumb we were for a long time. You know, for like 4,000 or 5,000 years of civilization, where we really didn't get it or understand it. It's only been in the last, I'd say, for the last 15 years that guys have realized, like, oh wow, women really hate that. To where now, like, finally we're getting it several thousand years into it. They're like, oh, wow. Oh, they not only they
right
not
now,
like it,
we're at the turning
they're
point.
They really genuinely do not want you to whistle at them.
They do not take that as a compliment. Yeah. Yeah, that could be the Astros. Like, what? Tanaka's an attractive man, whistling as he walks by.
Who's got the best whistle? I feel like Altuve would have a good whistle. Altuve seems like the kind of guy that can give the loud whistle to get his kids to come in.
That's the thing. It's whoever has multiple kids.
Yeah.
Because the whistle becomes a thing to basically kind
of... I can't do it. I've always been ashamed of myself that I can't pull off a loud whistle.
I can't either. Like,
my friends growing up, the Sandersons, their dad could whistle from like we'd be a half mile away and we'd hear him whistle and it'd be time for dinner. Which even goes to show, which was another cool thing, is that they had dinner at their house, which was crazy.
Did you get invited?
I was over there all the time.
If you could hear from a half mile away, that had to be like standing next to a gunshot.
Oh, it was awesome. He was this big dude. He was like 6'5", big old beer belly, but like brawny, you know, and he could whistle like that. He was the T-ball coach. He did all that dad stuff. He put prime rib on the table, or whatever you eat, roast on the table at night and everything. Yeah, that family moved away. I lost 8 pounds. Became a much lesser athlete.
That's pretty
bad. It was rough. Yeah.
That's pretty badass, though. Being able to, there's got to be a YouTube out there that teaches guys like us that don't know how to use our fingers to whistle how to do it. Now.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to check that.
I always forget that YouTube can teach you anything.
Anything. Yeah, I'm going to check that during the break. All right. Question: is covering a down on their luck celebrity in sort of a where are they now piece out of bounds? The story of a former athlete that has the public very worked up, we will hit next.
The article that I saw, this is interesting because I'm curious about this. Since I'm new to this whole media thing still. It's only been a few years. I didn't go to a fancy journalism school or whatnot. I try to figure this stuff out on the fly.
Yeah.
So there's this article, because I know what people want is a hockey story.
this article. Promise you we're going to localize it.
This popped onto my timeline last night. It says former NHL enforcer Donald Brashear is working at a Tim Hortons in Quebec.
I remember him.
Tim Hortons is a fast food, well, like a breakfast type of place, a fast food restaurant / breakfast place started by Tim Horton, the hockey player. So, look, Tim Horton worked at a Tim Hortons. No big deal, right? But Donald Brashear is working at the drive-through. It's at
a donut place, right?
It's at a Tim Hortons. Well, they have breakfast food
they
and
do?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah, and It's really popular in Canada, a lot of the
super
northern
popular
states.
Yeah,
really, they still serve coffee. I didn't know this, but I was up visiting once, and I got a coffee at Tim Hortons. They serve this at like McDonald's pre-lawsuit temperatures. Ridiculously hot. I can't believe they still do it.
How
tempted? It's probably because they're up in Canada with the socialized healthcare.
Someone winds up with third degree burns.
I burned my groin, but you know, hey, what the government will take care of it.
Did you think about taking some of it and dumping it in your lap?
No.
Getting litigious?
No, because that was the part of that lawsuit. It wasn't actually the temperature of the coffee. It was the defective coffee that did it. And that old lady got scalded.
That
was one of those lawsuits.
Probably not
that,
worth it.
That was one of those lawsuits that looked a lot more frivolous in the headlines than it actually was.
Until you saw like the burns, like the
burns. The reasoning behind it. It wasn't as frivolous as it sounded. So anyway, so
for sheer.
But the only reason I noticed this was people were flipping out, angry hockey fans about like why the hell are you even writing this or putting this out there as a story. He'd had some economic difficulties, had some legal and financial problems after his retirement. So they write this story about it. And the franchise that he's working at is also owned by a former NHL player.
Okay.
So there are a couple things that the National Post here does wrong when they publish the photo. First, and this is a big one. So to point out,
I got to look at this photo.
To point out, Donald Brashear is a black guy. And instead of having a photo of Donald Brashear, the National Post had a photo of Georges Larocque. So
they put the wrong black dude in.
Yeah.
Well, that's a separate issue.
Which again, but you know, Canada's got a little Trudeau action. Yeah, they're not necessarily as sensitive and tuned to racial issues as we are here in America.
Correct.
So. But the other is just people were just flipping out angry. Like, why is this a story? Why are you putting out this out here? Why are you shaming it? And it reminded me a lot of the Cosby Show actor from a few years ago.
Yeah, I forget his name, but he played Elvin he played Sandra's husband, Elvin, in the Cosby Show.
Sandra was the sister you didn't care about.
She was the one that was away at college.
She went to Princeton. Came back, and then she married, and her husband was kind of annoying, but he was a good enough guy. And
Jeffrey Owens is the actor's name.
So remember, he was working at a Trader Joe's, and somebody wrote a story about it, and people got flipped, I think righteously indignant over that, is you're kind of, even though the story isn't explicitly doing it, it feels like by making a story out of it, you're kind of shaming the guy just for working a normal job.
Right.
Where it seems like that should be, hey, some people have notable jobs where they're very famous, and then they go and they get other jobs. Is there something inherently wrong with one job compared to the other? I'm torn on this because I understand that sentiment, but I feel like the paper writing the story, it's something that is obviously interesting to people, and it is getting people to talk about it and whatnot, and that person, the athlete or the actor, is a public personality. As long as the story itself isn't shaming them or saying like, oh, wow, look at what a loser this is. I don't know if I can get angry at the paper for writing the story.
No, I start with, how does Brashear feel about being written about? Is he ashamed to work there? Did he care about the article?
Well, that's where, I don't know. They don't have a quote from him.
Yeah.
They took a quote from the franchise owner, who's Pierre Sevigny. Pierre Sevigny.
Yeah.
Told the paper he'd hired Brashear to help out. He's an employee. That's all. We have just started. He is here to help me. We'll take it one day at a time. That sounds like from a guy that maybe had some legal and drug issues, like the one day at a time is maybe that's part of the... this is what I've thought before. I've wanted to do... There's certain jobs that I've wanted to do just for the experience of it. Some of the times, like, I've wanted to work at Home Depot just to get the experience of, like, learning all that stuff and everything. I've also wanted to work at a gym just to learn the fitness industry. There's a part of me that keeps me from doing it is just sheer and simple laziness. The other part of it, though, is I don't want to be, there's enough people that are going to come through that know who I am.
Sure.
They're going to assume I'm down on my luck.
That's right.
And they're just going to say that. And I'm insecure enough that I don't want that being whispered about me.
Yeah.
I don't like want it being whispered. And it's weird. I feel like I'm actually kind of ashamed that I'm that insecure that I don't want people thinking I'm down on my luck. Like if I want to go learn how to run a McDonald's or something, I should be able to just go and work at the drive-thru and say, oh, yes, I am Seth Payne.
Okay.
Don't worry about me. Here's your Big Mac.
Now, that would have been great. You know what would have been great is if when Steve McKinney was opening one of his several McDonald's that he now owns, part of the process when you're a franchisee at McDonald's, and this is probably the case at a lot of different franchises, is you got to work the drive-thru.
Well, McDonald's, it's really intense as far as working the restaurant.
Yeah, you start at the bottom, and you work up. And so how great would that have been, though, that if there were a writer from one of the newspapers or a website that happens to drive through the McDonald's in Madisonville that Steve opened up, and that Steve is the one like, oh, hey, would you like that supersize? And then immediately they're writing an article like, hey, Steve McKinney's working at the McDonald's.
They just didn't do any research on it at all.
Right, yeah. Like, he moved to Madisonville. He was so shamed, and now he's working at a McDonald's drive-through.
Sometimes
he owns the place.
Every now and then I run into a... It's interesting. It's interesting. Sometimes when I'm at like Radio Row, I feel like I get that pitiful look from some of my friends that are in national media. They're like, oh,
why?
Poor Seth down on his luck.
Because you're doing local radio?
Actually,
he was so glib as a player. What the hell?
Look at Seth. He's all angry, flipping out on other people at Radio Row. He's really... He's falling on.
You knew it was just a matter of time.
He's falling on hard times.
He's in that.
I always suspected he sniffed. He sure sniffed a lot. He's out there doing radio for blow.
Cesspool of local radio is bound to get to him at some point. And he's flipping off on this poor other host over here.
You know what? Actually, that part of it isn't true just because every media gig is different. If you're not a Hall of Famer or like a bona fide national media star, it's kind of a gig-to-gig deal. So there are some people that, like, it's nice to be a former player working in your market.
Yeah.
On radio.
For sure.
Because there's a lot of stability here. I'd have to mess up really, really bad to not have a job in this town.
Yes.
Because, like, well, until there's a few guys on the team right now that are...
Try not to test that. I'm enjoying doing the show with you.
There's a few guys on the team. Yeah. I did that. And I still got a job. There's a few guys on the Texans right now that are pretty eloquent and everything, and I'm keeping an eye on them. I'm going to argue for. I might try to get them out of here. I should just publish a phony article where they smash the city of Houston.
That's why you need to really befriend William O'Brien, general manager.
Yeah,
encourage him to move certain guys that look like they might be good at radio.
This guy
in
might
the future.
Be a threat to me.
Like DJ Reader is very, very.
Oh, that's a good one.
He's got a big personality. He's very thoughtful.
Looks like he'd enjoy the job too.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I got 10 years. I got 10 years to plot my strategy.
Well,
for
but
DJ
he's
going to
be a free agent. I think you just go to O'Brien and say, boy, you know, I heard some things about Reader. I don't think you really want to sign the guy. I'd let him walk and take the compensatory.
Who, you had asked this question earlier. I can't remember if we got to it or not. I think we're off air. Whitney Merciless or DJ Reader? Who's more important to you?
Let's carry that into the next segment.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Who's more important in terms of getting an extension first?
Yeah, we'll do that in the next segment. And also, we say goodbye to a legend. Next, as well, you're listening to Payne and Pendergast. All right, Seth, you posed the question, Merciless or Reader, that you've got to give a contract to. You actually posed that question to Whitney Merciless when he was in this studio a few weeks ago.
What did I say?
You said, okay, who's getting paid first, you or DJ Reader? It was a good moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. He handled it just as uncomfortably as you would think he might handle.
No, he was pretty cool.
He was very
he
smooth.
It
I'm just
well.
Joking around.
Yeah, Whitney and I we got a good enough relationship.
Simpatico.
Yeah, he knew I wasn't going to demand an answer.
He knew not to answer.
The thing all about Whitney is he just like he handled last year so well. Last year, where he was really just being asked to do everything differently. And I kind of, when I would just run into him at various events last year and talk to him about it a little bit, he always said all the right things. And you can tell it wasn't just saying the politically correct thing. It was just, that was his role last year was sometimes in the NFL, you get screwed over for being the good guy on a personal level by being the team guy. So he's going to do the team thing last year, which was whatever they asked him to do. And he's not going to raise a big stink about it, and he's not going to try to go to his agent or anything and ruffle anybody's feather about it. It's nice to see him get rewarded this year by having this opportunity and to see what he's been able to do. So, yeah, the question I asked him was, all right, who gets paid first, you or DJ Reader?
His answer should have been, nobody, because they don't do contracts in season with the Texans.
But your coach already said that he's open to it. Excuse me, your GM.
Look at you.
Excuse me, your offensive coordinator. Excuse me, Bill O'Brien.
Yes, Bill O'Brien.
So So the question becomes, who would you want to pay first? And they can negotiate with both of them. It's not like they can't do both those guys.
I think the chalk is both of them coming back.
I wonder with Whitney, I guess because they have the room to do it. If there's one thing we've learned about Bill O'Brien, now that he's a general manager especially, the locker room is important to him. That's one thing he's taken from New England that I like. I think that he actually really cares about locker room chemistry. That might have had something to do with not retaining Clowney. And so far, that's looking like it was the right move. Maybe it could have gotten more for him. Whatever. That's all water under the bridge now. So, the locker room is really important to him, and Whitney, it seems from everybody I talk to, is the consummate professional and the kind of guy that you want guys to look at and say, oh, that's the way you operate. You always want to, as a coach, you always want to be able to point to guys. It's so much easier to just be able to say, hey, look at that guy. Follow him around and work like he works and do what he does, and you'll probably do all right for yourself in the NFL. Like, the leadership doesn't even have to be about guys getting up and making speeches and everything. It's just having enough guys that are good role models and that will talk to guys and everything, that in each position group you've got those guys. So Whitney is that guy. It's just a matter of, really, I guess, does Whitney roll the dice and say, all right, how much are teams out there willing to pay a 30-year-old guy who's coming off of, maybe he gets double-digit sacks this year, has a good year with a lot of pressures and whatnot. How much are teams willing to pay him at that age and versus, okay, the Texans and their offer and also the ability to stay on the same team? I don't know how many guys are like this. I wish I could have played for one team the whole time. There was really something nice. So it was one of the reasons why at the end of my career I chose to go to the Jaguars last. I kind of felt like it's like a girl not wanting her number to get too high. I'm a two team fella.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be bouncing around. I don't want to be looking like the journeyman or something.
Circle of life.
Yeah. So just to play for one team is pretty damn cool. And especially for somebody like Whitney that's so involved with everything around here.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing would be he knows what his role is here. He'd be doing the same thing playing with J.J. Watt, D.J. Reader, all these other guys. I don't know if it's a hometown discount, but I think that it doesn't have to be a hometown discount if he doesn't make it to free agency. It's that if the Texans offer him respectable money, it doesn't have to be a blockbuster deal. It's, are you going to give me a respectable 3 or 4 year deal? Let's do it. Let's get it out of the way, and then I'm here for the next few years.
Who's more valuable to this team right now? Who could they ill afford to lose more right now? Whitney Mercilus or DJ?
I would say for the long run and for everything, all things considered, like, who do I want for the next 10 years? DJ Reader, because of his age. I think DJ Reader, because of his versatility, and this year he's become a guy that he can play nose tackle. He can play 4-3 defensive tackle. You know, in this game against the Chiefs, he probably spent more time over the guards and over the... He wasn't playing like a true nose tackle, and he'll do that. At times last year, he was more of a defensive end than he was a nose tackle. And because of his youth and his versatility, I think it's DJ Reader.
Okay. So back to your original question, yeah. Then, who would you sign? You can only give an extension to one of the two.
If I 100% absolutely had to choose, it would be DJ Reader just because of his age.
His age, yeah. I mean, he's a young, rising nose tackle. J.J. Watt gave DJ Reader a lot of credit in the offseason, saying he's the best nose tackle in football. And I think some of us said, well, he's good. But, you know, that's J.J. giving his guy maybe, you know, bumping his guy up a few extra notches because he's his guy. Boy, I don't watch nose tackle play throughout the league on a regular basis, Seth.
Yeah.
Like, no disrespect to you as a former interior defensive lineman. But I would just blindly have a hard time thinking that there's a guy out there, maybe other than Aaron Donald, obviously, who plays the interior, that's having a more impactful year than DJ Reader right now. He's making plays every game.
He's a very good young player. Yeah. Like, to start to try to say who the best interior defensive lineman is in football, or that type of a player too.
Yeah, that type. Like, Aaron Donald's a different cat.
Right. Yeah.
So,
but he's young.
you like the age part of it,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.